And I just think this is a great thing, the Advent conspiracy. I really do. I don't know about you, but for Christmas for me, for a long time, I've lost my way or I've lost sight in it. That even as senior leader in Liberty for the last, I don't know, many years, I haven't even preached at Christmas. I've said, Rob, will you preach? Or Louise or someone else preaching there. And because, you just know there's something missing. You just know you're getting caught up in what everyone else is caught up in. And it doesn't mean like it's bah humbug that we all sit there like with no fire lighting and no Christmas tree. Like, it doesn't mean that at all, because I actually love Christmas. But I just love this idea. I just think it's great. It came from a couple of pastors that says, here, let's claim something back that is ours. Let's flip it on its head and do things that that we will be talking about in time to come. And it doesn't, I know Rob covered last week on consumerism and all that, so I'm not going near what Rob preached on, but some of the ideas is coming from these guys that wrote the book about it because they came up with the idea. And last week about spend less and give more, it's a bit of contradiction in your mind first of all. How do you spend less and give more? Well, I think what we want to get across is that it's not getting freaked out about Christmas, it's not getting caught up in the wild spending of Christmas, but it's like it's actually given of ourselves, given more thoughtful ways that we can give to one another and those that we love. Amen. And so we never want that to come across that that we're like we're bad. I love Christmas, actually. Do you? And I know some people that are not into Christmas, but I actually love it. It's like growing up. I grew up in a family of 14 kids, and we all ended up, when we even moved out, we ended up back in my ma's 257 Dolphin House in the flats. And so now you're 14 kids with kids. Do you get me? So like this became and every year that's my biggest memory of Christmas is going down to my ma's and just spending the morning there. And I don't remember us all giving each other presents. But I remember, we all gave me mad present because she wouldn't let you in. But but her love, the five love language, her one was receiving gifts. Vera loved an old gift. And I remember one time, actually, I bought a vase. I was only 15. I was working in if anyone remembers, Anko. It was Foss back then. I got £16 a week. And I bought me mad this lovely vase. And I used to have a pigeon loft as well, and I hid it in the pigeon loft so that I wouldn't let her see it. And then one day, I don't know what I was doing, but I let it fall, and I broke the whole side of it. So I had to put it in her. I said, Ma, I'm going to put it in to your cabinet. I had to put it in a certain way that she wouldn't see the falling off piece. And anyway, my sister that used to clean and never told that this was what happened or whatever. But I think it's the best gift you've ever received. Think of maybe the worst gift as well that you've ever received at Christmas. And it's on this thinking that is that on the greatest gift, that we're not going to outgive God. We're not going to outgive the gift that he gave in Jesus. And looking at ways to understand in giving, I don't think we have a better model than what God gave, and what we give to each other, we can glean from what he gave. Because Jesus, in God giving Jesus, he gave a gift that's profound. And I don't know whether what you thought of in your gift, but I don't know whether it was profound. But God's gift of Jesus is profound. And I think for me, what happens with the Christmas thing is that for years it became so familiar that you weren't even thinking about it anymore, that you'd hear the songs or you'd hear the readings of the scriptures and it's just flying through your head nearly like everyone else walking through Arnott's or Tesco's, and they're hearing the same songs that we sung this morning, but they're not hearing the incredible story, they're not hearing the incredible truths that's in this, in the songs, and they're missing it. And we can be the same even in church, I think. A Christmas card expresses a lovely about Christmas. The blessing was, may your Christmas be blessed with radiance and wonder. That's good, isn't it? That may our Christmas be blessed with radiance and wonder. Listen to this. How profound is this from the scriptures? This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. I was thinking of this, right? Imagine when Matthew wrote this story. He would have gone to Mary and say, Mary, tell us what it was like. He would have happened to interview her to get the information. Tell us what it was like. Joseph, what was going on for you when all this was going on? This is the where it said, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had already said through the prophets. He said through the prophets, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But they did not lie together in their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. I love this first bit, right? That God wasn't leaving Jesus' name to chance to any humans. You're not going to call him Billy or... No, Billy. I know there's a Billy here. I was trying to pick a name out. I'm not going to give you any name, not allowing you to give any name that you have a meaning attached to. I'm going to tell you what to call my son. He's going to be called Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. And this is the profound gift that God gave us in Jesus. That God is with us. That when we're lonely or afraid or hurting or worried or stuck in our sins, that we need to know that God is with us. That God came in the flesh and is still with us. And I don't know about you, but that is profound to me afresh this morning. Now, I was 22 years of age, which was nearly 28 years ago, come the 22nd of December. And it'd be 28 years ago, and I was sitting in a little flat in Dolphin's Barn. I'd seen my family members die of drug addiction. I'd seen people all around me die of drug addiction, burying people in the grave with AIDS, HIV, AIDS, you know, getting into addiction myself, sitting broken and lonely as a 22-year-old man, and my friend came and told me that Jesus was alive. That Jesus was real. And I'm like everyone probably else has sometimes, says, you're crazy, Mick. His name was Mick Finley. Gary, that's who was out here that night, remember? And Mick came and says, no, God loves you. And he's real. And I thought, could he be real? And come the 22nd of March, after about 3 months of Mick sharing the gospel with me, I give my life to Jesus. I want to tell you, I am so glad, and I want to encourage you. The profound gift of God to us is that he came in the flesh. That he came, and he can find us wherever we are. Another word that is used around this time is the incarnation. The incarnation is the moment when Jesus, the divine son of Heavenly Father, enters the story of humanity. It's when God put on flesh. The miracle of Christmas is the infinite becoming an infant. A baby who was fully man and fully God. I love the way this song puts it. A song called A Great and Mighty Wonder. Listen to the opening lines. The Word becomes incarnate, ascending from on high. And cherubim sings anthems to the shepherds from the sky. That Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell the story of the gospel, of Jesus coming. They tell the story, but listen to the way John puts it. It says the Word became flesh. John, like the others, tell the story of how Jesus came about. John tells us the theology, to what is behind what God wants to get through. And this is what it says in 1 John 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The word incarnate means to put flesh on. That God came like us. He put flesh on. The creator of the universe came and walked amongst us. The one translation says, the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. I love that, do you? That he became flesh and blood and he moved into where people were. He came to where people were living, that he could be familiar with them, that he could get to know them. He wasn't some God that came in the flesh and set up in a palace, but he moved into the neighborhoods so that he could be near people. The NIV says that Jesus made his dwelling amongst us, which literally means to make a tent, to camp out with other people. The dwelling that's used in this word in the NIV is the same word used in the Old Testament, but it's translated as tabernacle. And the tabernacle in the Old Testament was a portable tent where the glory of God would come and dwell amongst the people way before the temple in Jerusalem was ever built. The tabernacle was a tent that Moses called the tent of meetings. It's where you would go in and that you would meet with God. And being familiar with the Old Testament, when this was being proclaimed, that God came and dwelt amongst us, that he made his tent amongst us, that he moved into the neighborhood, when he would have said that he made his dwelling amongst us, listen to what the hearers of the day would have hearing. That he came and put his tabernacle amongst us in Jesus, just like God was with them in the Old Testament in the tabernacle. And he would have known three things about this tabernacle. One is that God lived in the midst of Jerusalem, of Israel, sorry, in the midst of the people, and that when Jesus, and that in the midst of Israel, that when God's glory would come, he would dwell on the Ark of the Covenant between two cherubims. His glory, his Shekinah glory, the magnificence of God would come down and dwell in that tent. And the people would have known this, that heard this. And this is what they were proclaiming, that the Shekinah glory of God in Jesus was now walking amongst them. Isn't that profound? They would have also known that the tabernacle was the place where they would have needed a mediator between them and God. But in Jesus, they were proclaiming, there's only one now mediator, and it's Jesus. The tabernacle would have reminded them of a place that there were sacrifices, that goats were killed and lambs were killed. And so with Jesus, when they heard tabernacle, that this was a person of sacrifice. Maybe in our giving this year to give more, that we give something that causes us something. I think some people don't like getting gift cards because they think there was no thought put into it. But I like to shop in a certain place and I love gift cards because I don't trust anyone buying what I want out of it. So a gift card might mean little to someone or something great to somebody. But God gave the profound gift in Jesus that cost them something. And maybe we can look at giving people stuff that doesn't cost money, but causes us something. It's like the little boy that came to a missionary and he took out a little basket and he opens it up and there's a shell, a beautiful shell that is in it in the wrapping. And the little boy hands it to the missionary. And the missionary, she knew that she'd never seen one of these before. And the only time that she heard about one of these shells, that they only were found over the other side of the island, which was like a day or a half a day's walk from the village. And she says, but this is a tremendous gift and it must have cost you something. And what about the long walk? And the little boy said, the long walk is part of the gift. We can never forget that God himself took a long walk to come to be amongst us. That he gave his gift. And it was a long walk to Calvary. Profound gift may cost us something. But in this season of Advent conspiracy, let's flip it on its head. And I don't know about you, about costing something. There's a girl in RD Street, and I'm not giving any hints, but you can take them if you want, but she loves to bake me. I love currant cake. And every now and then, she'd just pop in, and she'd hand me, like, half of one or something that the husband didn't eat or something. And I treasure that, because I know it took time. I know it cost her time and energy to actually make that little bit of cake. So it doesn't have to be something costly in the sense of finances, but maybe of time. Maybe of giving something of ourselves this Christmas that will flip other things on its head. Some of the most profound giving that I've seen actually was in amongst my own family, my own daughters. We've gone to Belarus. We went for 7 years, I think, in a row over to an orphanage. And the first 2 years that we went, well, Patrice went first, she led the way. And then the next year I went with Becky, I think. And anyway, Becky fell in love with this little boy called Dennis. And he was about 6 or 7 at the time. So she comes over, and we come back, and it's hard when you come back from these places. And those who went to Lesotho would have known, you come back where kids have nothing, and you come back and you've everything, and it's just that struggle. And anyway, we came back, and everyone was talking about Christmas presents because we went the 28th of December, and we came back, and kids were giving out, like our cousins or their cousins were saying, well, I only got this and I only got that. And we were looking at them like, you know, with steam coming out of our ears, like these little boys and girls were lucky to have chicken at Christmas and probably had no meat for the rest of the year. And you know, so you're like, you're struggling with that internal battle of where we live and where they live and all that stuff. And so anyway, she fell in love with this little boy called Dennis, and we says, we want to bring him over next year because we were allowed to bring them over, not allowed to adopt them. We're in another year, I fell in love with another little boy called Ed. And we came back and we kept saying to Sharon, we're going to bring another kid home, we're going to bring another kid home. And then when their third daughter was gone, Naomi, Sharon says, you can go, but you don't fall in love with any kids. We have a 3-bedroom little house, like there's no room in our house for our own kids. And so anyway, the profound giving that I've seen from teenagers. So we have a room. Then there's a bigger room, then there's the box room. My girls got out the big room, one in the box room, two in the other room. The other two, Naomi and Becky, got in and slept on the floor in the box room so that these kids could have their bed. Erica wouldn't let anyone in the bed beside her, that's why they were on the floor, in the box room. Not only that, teenagers, that's why I'm saying it's profound, because I know what I was like as a teenager, I wanted it all for me. Out of that grant money, they paid for the flights. Not only that, but when they were with us, they gave them every minute that they had to give to these little boys. You could say it cost them that Christmas, but it didn't. It made that Christmas. But I never forget thinking that, like, what a profound gift to give to these boys. And their heart was to them, even though we couldn't speak Belarusian, they couldn't speak English. So we made up our own language. Only joking, love covers a multitude of languages. And I remember saying to them, one day you're going to be asked to give up something for someone else. And that these girls have modeled it for you. It costs us something to give something that has a profound effect on someone else. Look out for ideas this Christmas. Not only is the gift of God in Jesus profound, but it's priceless. Some of the best gifts can't be bought. They're given. In God coming amongst us, he gave of himself. Remember the three wise men? As I learned this week, there could have been more than three. There was only three gifts presented. So that's a good little trick question. So many wise men, was there? Loads. But they bring their gifts to Jesus. Priceless gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And you know, before they give their gifts to Jesus, you know what they do? They bow down and worship him. They give their heart to him before they get their priceless gifts. I'm like, if God can have your heart today, he has everything. If God can have your heart today, if you can somehow come before him, acknowledge him as the king, the God who came and walked amongst us, the king who wants to be our best friend. Say, Jesus, you can have my heart. You can have my life. I tell you, he gives you his life. You get the best trade-off. You get the forgiveness of sin. You get God to be your father. You get Jesus to be your friend. You get to have the companion of the Holy Spirit with you all of the time. You get to walk in the plans and the purposes that God has created just for you. Listen, that's priceless. When the wise men got stuck, you know where they went to? The scriptures. If you're stuck today, go to the scriptures. Do you know the star that was over Jerusalem? Herod the king and his men and scribes and astronomers could have seen that star as well. But they were so caught up in themselves that they didn't even know the star was there till the wise men told them. And I'm like, is that not a picture of what we live in today? We got caught in all the trappings, and in the midst of all of this, there's singing and songs and celebrations of the King of Kings. I'm like, where is God? Where's God when I need him? He's with us. The priceless gifts that we can give doesn't have to cost us a lot. Bit of priceless giving. I decided to talk about my two boys from Belarus. We were in Bray 2 years ago, I think it was, at the great big giveaway. And we'd given them out. Like, they were all in all them seats, if anyone remembers, all packed. And the two boys was with us. And after we'd finished, we were going over to the hotel for a cup of tea afterwards. The gang that was here went over, and myself and my daughter Erica was going over, and we had the two boys, and we walked through the car park there. And we're walking through, and Dennis and Ed was behind us, and we noticed that they weren't up with us, so we looked back to see where they were. Now, I've learned a lot about orphanhood, going to the orphanage. I've learned a lot about my own orphan thinking by going to see these boys. Like, orphans are not givers, they're just takers. It's a reason for it. They haven't got a daddy or mommy to give them something tomorrow. So the mentality is, whatever I get, I'm keeping. And I realized by looking at this, Lord, you know, I'm sometimes like that. That I forget who my father is. I forget that my father will make sure the sparrows are all right and I'm worth more than a sparrow. And it's only when I forget and when we forget who our father really is that we think like orphans. So the two little boys, like, who are normally like you couldn't squeeze a penny out of them type of thing. You couldn't get them to share a sandwich. You couldn't. It was incredible at the beginning. Because they didn't know whether they were going to get anything off us. They didn't know whether they could trust us or not. And we're walking through there and we look back and the two of them are on their knees and they take out that little wallet that we'd bought them. They were taking money out. They went off to a homeless man to give him money. I'm telling you, it was priceless. It was priceless to see the orphan becoming the giver. It was priceless to see them bending down to a man that they somehow seen was worse off than them. You can give priceless gifts this year. Look for those who have less than us. That's why I love the great big giveaway. Do you know what I love about the Great Big Giveaway? I don't know many percentage, say 90% of the people that get them, we never get to see them. And some of the best giving you can give is giving that there's no thanks attached to. It's some of the closest that we'll ever get to being selfless givers is when we give something when there's nothing attached to it for us. And the Great Big Giveaway gives us that opportunity. People are knocked out when they get this. Last year, we went for the first year and delivered them all by hand. Everybody got involved. Everybody delivered. And they came back, and you came back with the stories of how thankful people are. One of the stories where never judge a book by the cover. Two people went to a house. Jay and Adele, for those who know them. And Adele was looking at the house and going, they don't need one of these hampers. Till they knocked at the door and brought her in. Beautiful house, but nothing in the cupboards. Money was gone on debt and mortgage. I'm like, wow, what a lesson to learn. What a lesson to learn. We don't give the great big giveaway. We tell people, don't come with your sad stories. It's all right, we want to bless you anyway. I used to get, the cat is dying, the budgie has arthritis, will you give us a hamper? I'm like, you know, I've got holes in me. You pull shoes out of the cupboard that had holes in them. No, you don't have to do that. We want to bless you. We want to give to you. We want to bless your family. If you can use this and use money to go to the cinema with your family, we believe that as a result for us. When you give the hampers in, this is what they're associated with. They associate with the church that loves Jesus. So even the hampers point to Jesus somehow. That's what I love about it, that we don't get the thanks off the people. You know, because we're not doing it for the thanks. We're not doing it for people to come to church. We're giving it because we love. And that is a priceless gift. And lastly, not only is God's gift profound, not only is it priceless, but it's personal. Listen to what happened with the shepherds. I love this. The angel says, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that you will be, that of a good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. For you is in that little couple of sentences. That to you, a child is being born. To you, a Savior. To you, there will be a sign. You will find a baby wrapped in a manger. That God somehow, he makes this gift, not just, John 3:16, God so loved the world. In this little passage in Luke, it's like, no, this Savior is for you, and for you, and for you, and for you. And somehow when the angels proclaim this, it gets into the ear of the shepherds, drops down into their heart and personalizes it, and then it drops into their feet that causes them, it says that they hurried off to see this little baby. They hurried off to see the king. They hurried off to see the Savior. Can I tell you, for us, some of us today even, that don't leave until tomorrow or next week to find the Savior. He's God with us. He's with us right now. God, I'm yours. God, forgive me. God, come into my heart. Be my king. Be my savior. Boom. It's done. A confession of faith. A belief in the heart. And the Bible says that you're saved. That you belong to God. That you're now a son of a king. And I think that's the great news ever. Amen. One pastor puts it this way about the shepherds. That God came to them where they were. God came to them as they were. God moved them from where they were, and God changed them from who they were. What a message of the gospel. He came from his place to our place to move us from the place we were in to be in alignment with the place that he lives in. He came to where they were. I love that. He comes to us wherever we are, where we're hiding now, where we're in bondage, where we're in sickness, where we're in pain. He comes to us where we're at. And he comes to us as we are. My friend says to me, Mick Finley again, way back, he says, no, God loves you just the way you are. But he loves you enough not to leave you the way you are. He loves me just the way I am. But he loves me enough not to leave me in my stay. There's been a revolution since Jesus came. There's been a spiritual revolution. God came to rescue us himself. Himself. If Christmas tells us anything, it tells us that we're all the same. There's none of us better than each other. That God had to come to rescue us all. He presented himself amongst us. His gift is profound. His gift is priceless, and his gift in Jesus is personal to you and me. And this Christmas, as we're sent out in the Advent conspiracy, find out, we are creative beings. You will find creative ways to be profound in your giving. You will find ways to be priceless in your giving. Priceless memories created with our families. One of the biggest things we have, when I was thinking about this tomorrow, I was like, my gaff must be like the Waltons. She's be Ellie Mae, or whatever the name is. Mary Ellen. It must be like Little House in the Prairie or something. But I've four daughters, believe me, that's a crazy man's family, isn't it? They're all teenagers, I wouldn't go in my house. You work it out. You know, some of the best crack we've ever had. At Christmas, we buy a family game. You know that frustration? The laugh, the game of spoons, games of Uno. I'm like, my goodness, if I talk to my girls, tell me about the present you got 5 years ago. They wouldn't remember. But do you remember the game of Uno? Do you remember how competitive Rob is at a game of spoons? They remember getting shoved out of the way by Rob. A priceless, profound, personal gift can be. There's a fellow in our church called Phil Swan. And every time he comes over to our house for a cup of tea or dinner or whatever, I've known him over here, he goes out to his car and he brings in a screwdriver because we always have something to fix in my house. And I'm DIY challenged. Huh? I've soft hands, pastor's hands. I'm like, I sent him a text this morning because I was thinking of this and I was like, Phil, I know it sounds a bit cheesy, but thanks for fixing the things when you go over to my house. A Christmas card that we sit down and write, not just Happy Christmas, but something about that person. They have profound, priceless, and personal effects. And I release us today to think, to be creative, that we actually take this Advent conspiracy, we flip this thing on its head, because if it has to start somewhere, and if it starts with us in our family, starts with us in our community, when we get to talk to people, well then, there you go. One of the things that I do at Christmas for the last couple of years, just giving away, I can't talk about anyone else because I don't know anyone else. But the last couple of Christmases, you know when you buy your kids stuff, you buy the kids stuff because you have to, you're the parents, don't you? Don't you? Like you have to. You can't go, no, I'm not buying your aunt. And I've all of the years bought them, you know, whatever. And for a number of years ago, I used to go out on Christmas Eve. I'd go out for an hour or something, and I'd go up to Marks and Spencer's, and I'd pick up all the little knickknacks that nobody wanted or you don't need for Christmas, you know? I don't know what to even say, like they were. But see, when I came back and gave them, they seemed to have more effect than the other presents. Because every year they say, Dad, don't forget the knickknacks. And it's like, I didn't buy them because I have to. I bought them because I wanted to. And in the last couple of years, what I've done, I've just gone into Eason's and bought cards for each of my daughters and my wife and now my granddaughter. And I've rough set in Costa and had a cup of coffee and just wrote out these cards, everything that would be in my heart for each one of them that year, and poured it out. Erica says to me this year, she opened up the ones from 2 years ago and she read them. And the affirmation as a young woman that she got in them, because I forget now what I wrote, don't I? Is amazing. I'm like, that didn't cost me anything other than time, but what they received from that has been profound and priceless in their life. And you're thinking of ideas right now and people, and I would say, go and do it. God gave, and we're no more like him than when we give. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Father, for this time of the year, Lord. We thank you, Father, for this series, oh God. We thank you for, Lord God, giving us the opportunity, Lord, to claim back, Lord, our holiday, Lord God, our time of celebration of Jesus. And Lord, we want to give as you've given. Profoundly, priceless, Lord God, and personal. And I pray, Father God, that we would know today how much we're worth in you. That you gave Jesus because you love us. You gave your only begotten Son, O God, and that's priceless, Lord. And you gave them to each one of us that would receive them, and that's personal, O God. And I pray, Father, this Christmas, Lord, that there be something out of the ordinary for each one of us. Stuff that we give and even stuff that we get, Lord, would be just not the norm. Father, we pray your blessing over each one, O God. We pray your blessing over the great big giveaway, Father. We pray your blessing over every home, Lord, that will receive, Father God, this Christmas, O God. Father, what we see on the other side of the hampers, Lord, is people, is families that need, Lord God. And we pray you bless them and you would use liberty, Lord God, as a means, O God, of just giving something into their lives, Father God, that would be a blessing. We bless you, Father. We thank you in the name of Jesus. And all the people says, amen. Guys, will you stay with us for a cup of tea?